And away we go, Scuttlebucks Friday edition. Good to be with you. Thanks for listening. And our thanks to our friends at Phil Curry Ford as well. Reach out directly to our friend Sean Sullivan. He's the GM of Bill Curry Ford. Hey, man, you're out there thinking you want a new lease. You know what? You want a new Ford truck. You want to do something different. All right, here you go. He'll help you personally. Find his email at BillCurryFord.com or go to Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway in Tampa. Huge Bucks fans at Bill Curry Ford. Serving the community is what they're all about. Many Bucks players and coaches are customers, including Vita Vea and Ali Marpette. Bill Curry Ford has a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And remember, GM Sean Sullivan will assist you personally if you want him to. Ask for the Joe Bucks fan discount, BillCurryFord.com. Tom Lang is with me. I'm Jeff. Thanks for, again, listening, tuning in. Bucks off of a loss. We talked about that. Now we go into the most hyped game of this young NFL season, probably nauseated by all of the hype. Although I will say, it's fun to be the center of the attention in the NFL, and the Bucks certainly are. I mean, along with the Chiefs and a couple other teams, the Bucks are always a lead in any coverage about the National Football League. And for so long, the Bucks were an afterthought. So even overkill, like we have right now for a game and a return, even overkill is something that I don't take for granted. It's nice to be the center of the NFL universe.
Yeah, for me, you know, it's that's why it's cool. You know, I think it's more for Patriots fans, this game, than it is for Bucks fans.
Sure.
You know, all this overhype, I'm like, eh, it's a novelty to me. To them, I mean, you see that the average ticket price is well over $1,000 per seat.
Yeah.
This is a welcome home party for them. But for us, it's extra attention, extra pub for the franchise, which is one of the principal reasons that the Glazers made this move, is they want to make the brand stronger. That's good for this weekend. Now just go win the football game. All that pomp and circumstance, and he's going to break Drew Brees' record and all that stuff, that's great for Tom, and it's great for those fans to get the warm and fuzzies so they can see what they once had. But let's just go win the football game, move on, get to 3-1.
Yeah, winning the game is paramount coming off of a loss. You got to clean some things up, obviously. We know that. And then I think in addition to all of that, you just want to see some guys get healthy so that you can go on to have a great season. So it was nice this week, and it's the first order of business on the show today. It was nice this week to see Gronk get back. It was nice this week to see Jason Pierre-Paul back at practice. Hell, I think it was nice. We talked about it and speculated about it last Scuttlebucks. I really wanted them to sign Sherman, and they did. So and then he's already got a pick at practice. It is whatever, but it's nice to see that. I think if he's in shape, he could actually really help this football team. In fact, he could end up being a sneaky, really good signing because the Bucs secondary is the area of weakness, and it's also banged up.
Yeah, you're not signing a lockdown corner, or that's not the attempt of this particular acquisition. It's to create the depth. There's upside there, lots of upside if you consider his 2019 Pro Football Focus grade, and you take that as gospel. Again, that was number one in the league at 90.1 coverage grade. It's been 2 years since then. He's 33. We'll see, but all you want is the fortification. You want to answer what the Panthers have done in the division, and other teams, like obviously our previous opponent, the Rams, have done in roster building. We got better this week with health and with an acquisition. And it'll be an interesting test on the road because this Patriots defense is still really good. Everybody looks at their offense with a jaundiced eye because they've got a rookie quarterback. And if you look at the output the last, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season, it's not great. But that's still a really good defense that can test us this weekend.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of weapons on offense and nothing that really scares you. In fact, what's interesting about Mac Jones' interceptions, I went back and looked at that game, and, you know, my brother lives in New Hampshire and watches a lot of Patriots games, and he goes, man, you talk about being snake bit. That kid, none of his picks have been legitimate. He's like, they're ridiculous. Like, hey, the kind that Jameis used to have for weeks on end where we'd go, now the national media is just going to see the number of INTs, and he had plenty. But
oh, sure.
There were also throws to O.J. Howard, and he just throws the ball into the air, and guys would just drop balls off their fingertips. You'd be like, really? And that's, of course, got to find a defender. That's happened a lot to Mac so far this year.
Yeah, that 30-30 season was maybe like 16 or 18, which is still a high number.
It's still a high number.
Yeah, really,
man,
high number.
I mean, there were so many moments where you're like, really?
Yeah, maybe a dozen of those were
crazy.
Of that variety.
Yeah
but the thing I'm looking at and the thing I looked at before doing this podcast was the yards per play output in the two Patriots games not named the Jets game. Who cares? But that's not going to tell you anything. You can't learn anything about that. The Dolphins put up 5 yards a play, and the Saints put up 4 yards a play. So the defense is still holding
really
its
good.
Own.
Yeah.
And if you don't value the football this weekend, you know what Belichick is going to do. He's going to choke the life out of the ball as much as he can. It's going to be a lot of those situations where third and three, they're going to run the play clock down inside of 10 seconds, and if they can eke out just enough yards to keep the chains moving, that's another 2 minutes off the clock. Fewer possessions means the margin for error is slimmer. So you got to make sure that when we're on offense, we're firing on all cylinders. And you mentioned a couple of guys that were healthy this week. Also, Antonio Brown is back in the fold. I would figure that this might be an Antonio Brown-type game for a couple of reasons. Tom Brady is petty. I think he's still mad at the Patriots for dismissing Antonio Brown off of that roster. I don't think that's a fair assessment from Brady, but he's petty like that.
Yeah.
Also, Belichick is going to take away your primary options. Antonio Brown is third or fourth on the list. It's a chance for him to have a big weekend. I saw that one prop had him at over under 46.5 yards. I go way over on that number.
So I'm with you on that. I'm very intrigued what we see from the running backs this week. There's going to be a lot of checking down in the pass game to these backs, and they brought in Bernard for that reason. I mean, and he is already becoming a difference maker on that realm. I want to see, Ronald Jones at this point could be trade bait. Ronald Jones is not doing a lot right now to help Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If he doesn't play a lot in this game, I'm going to be curious to see what his role is moving forward. That's just an aside. We're talking about personnel. That relationship doesn't seem real good right now.
It's not good right now, but I'm still going to ride the thought from a couple of weeks ago, which is I think it's a roller coaster all season long. Remember, Leonard Fournette was benched, and he couldn't dress for a game last week because he pouted during practice, and Bruce said, "The hell with you. We don't need you here." And then what happens? He comes back, and he's the stud in the playoffs, specifically the Super Bowl. So I think this relationship, you've got two inconsistent players there that are going to go up and down.
Up and down, yeah.
But I'm looking for the explosiveness factor out of Gio Bernard. If he does dress this week, obviously the MCL sprain, and he was listed as day-to-day early this week. I think it was Monday that announcement was made.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how explosive he is in his cuts because, that could be a limiting factor that doesn't see him on the field at all. And one of Brady's old friends, I think they were trying to capture the magic with Gio Bernard here in Tampa. You saw that James White is now out indefinitely. I think it's the whole season, but he certainly won't be playing this weekend.
Yeah, and listen, you don't wish injury on people, but I will tell you, with all the buildup and all the storylines and everything that we've talked about, when I read that, I kind of went, well, that's a shame. But all right, because let's be honest, that guy is a really good player and a safety net. So I was, I'm sorry he's hurt, but he is.
Another key number I was looking at for the non-Jets football games again. The non-Jets football games. That's going to be a theme when you're trying to weigh things as an individual bettor or an analyst. The Dolphins had 2 sacks in their game against the Patriots, and the Saints racked up 3 sacks. We've got 3 all season. Can this be a game where you have multiple chances to bring down Mac Jones and you do so successfully? That would be a big thing to see after what has been a dearth of pressures and finishing the play on the quarterback this season.
Well, if you want to see, by the way, another thing to note here, and we're putting out markers to find out where the Bucs are at and what can they improve upon. Hey, one thing has not been lacking, and that is the ability to throw the ball for gobs of yardage and touchdowns, and Brady just did that against the Rams. I mean, that Rams defense, we think, is every bit as good, if not better, certainly than this New England defense. And what did he throw for, 432 yards? He was incredible. If he does it again, Tom, we're getting to that place where you can just say week to week, the Bucs offense really can't be stopped short of turnovers.
Yeah, agreed, and that you still have a top 3 quarterback in the NFL. Given the weapons, it elevates the product, but still, he knows where to go with the football.
He puts the ball on people.
But the thing is, you also have a battle of two petty mofos this weekend. We got to remember that Bill is petty as well.
Oh, well, most greatness, centers around a kind of drive that is maniacal and petty and strange.
I saw on Tuesday, 97% of the spread bets, 97% of the spread bets are on the Bucs. Mm. I don't think it should be skewed that heavily because Belichick can elevate his game too. We've seen that so many times when he has people you haven't even heard of. The schemes that he comes up with. I get it that we're loaded and you have to pick your poison every time you play us. And you can make us one-dimensional and only able to throw the ball, and you still have to pick your poison with how loaded we are.
It's crazy.
But the way Belichick goes, again, I just wouldn't underestimate the hoodie having this game somehow, some way, 17-10 in the third quarter. That wouldn't shock me.
I would be stunned. I'll be honest with you.
You would be?
Oh, yeah. I don't think... I know what you're saying.
We had no score into the second quarter this past week.
It's a valid point you're making. I don't think Gronk will play nearly as bad as he did in this last game. I think he'll be eager to not do that. I think he wants to show up and show out, as the kids would say, and so does Brady. And now all of his weapons are back. If they're healthy, there's not a team that can shut down the Tampa Bay offense. I think it's the best offense in the league, and I think he is an elite passer still. You talk about that. It's the processing. It's the pre-snap that he does better than anybody else to get us out of bad plays, to get us into right protections, and to put the ball on people.
Well, and this is where it gets fun. This is where it's not about the celebration of all things Brady and, in retrospect, New England. It's that these two forces are going against each other. So many times you hear storylines about Brady versus Stafford, Brady versus Breeze, Brady versus Manning. No, this is a defensive mastermind, the legend himself, against the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. So they're actually going against each other. The chessboard is out there, and they're playing against each other, not on concurrent tables.
Always remember this, though. In modern, and you know this, modern football, you would rather have a elite offense and middling defense than an elite defense and a middling offense. You want an elite offense. And listen, you could be middling on defense. The Bucs probably have, I think, it's an embarrassment of riches. It really is. There's just no way to look at this. Because the game is built now, the way it's officiated for offense. You could be a great defense, and you're still going to give up 24 points. I mean, it's just that's the way the game is played.
Sure.
Now.
If you're judging by point totals of yesteryear, yes, I agree with you. However, I would say that it was pretty much an elite defense that carried us to the Super Bowl last year.
Well, I mean,
if you look at the playoff run itself, I'm not talking about the final few weeks of the season.
Remember how we were so upset, though, well into the season, 10 weeks into the season, that they were not throwing on first down,
yep,
and they were not throwing off a play action, and they were not. And then what did they do from that point forward? Yes, the defense played well, but the offense did more than carry themselves through game to game, flip field position, score point, and all that stuff started to happen.
To your point, who's got a better chance to win the Super Bowl between these two teams on Sunday?
Of course,
we know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
But still, for a one-game one-off, this is where this game, I think even at 6.5, I might join the public, the 97% of the public, and say that the Bucs should cover that number. But still, I mean, you go up to that place, I know it's not December or anything like that, but you trust that guy for one night to scheme up something to confuse the hell out of us? That's the one guy you turn to in football history to do that.
You sure? I think you would. I'll take the best quarterback to ever play with an abundance of riches to choose from. Listen, he can scheme it up all he wants. Brady has seen everything there is in football. He's not going to magically create something that's never been seen before. I mean, they're all part and parcel to a system of plays under a certain umbrella, right? And Brady has seen everything in the bag.
Okay, we get nauseated by all the time what ESPN does with the word legacy and how they attach it to. Specifically, the NBA is a big one, but Brady and Manning and things like that, big-time quarterbacks. These two people, these two principal figures in the game, Brady and Belichick, do you think the term legacy creeps into their mind? Like the pettiness about how to put a stamp on? Because I feel like it's going to be billed in the short term as, all right, the big winner of the Brady-Belichick fight is Brady so far because he's got a Super Bowl. But here's a chance for Tom to put a stamp on it, and Belichick's like, hell no, I don't want to hear any of that. He did it because of Brady stuff.
I think
it might creep into their mind for this one instance.
It could be a flash just because they're beat over the head with it, but do you really think either one of those two guys are watching First Take or any of these other shows that do that ridiculousness?
No.
They're not. They don't hear. I mean, it gets back to them, but they don't care.
But I think in their own minds, independent of that conversation about it, in their own minds, they think about all the notches in their belts over time.
Brady did Bill a favor this week. I actually think the two of them have handled this very well this week. And we're getting ready to sign off. We're both picking the Bucks to
win.
Yes,
we are.
Yeah, we are. Here's what I'll tell you. And I think he's right. Tom Brady said this week, well, do I think I would have won 6 Super Bowls in New England if I hadn't been coached by Bill Belichick? No, I don't. I don't think that. I think Bill Belichick helped me to get there. And I think I helped him win 6 Super Bowls, and he would not have won them without me either. It's a mutual admiration society. I think deep down, those two gentlemen know that they would not have won without the other. And they'll let the media debate about who was the principal leader of that championship dynastic run, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think Bill might have won the first 3, though, with Bledsoe, if Bledsoe was healthy.
Might have.
But as time went on, though, time went on, Brady became more of the driving force behind the success.
Yes, he did. And what he represented was the ethos, right? What Bill was trying to get that team to be. And
right,
in terms
right.
of work ethic and study and day-to-day and consistency and process. And Brady, that we've always said this. If your best player is also your hardest worker and leads by example, well, then that's it. You got it made. And that's what Tom Brady did for Bill Belichick. It's what he continues to do now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For Tom Lang, I'm Jeff Cameron. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, and our thanks to all of you. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you again on Monday.